Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
And we return now to the GOP race for the White House and underscore what we've already alluded to this hour, and that is the importance of the Florida primary, which is a week away. We want to welcome back to the program good friend Leslie Sanchez, Republican political strategist and the CEO of Impacto Group. She's a member of the board of Resurgent Republic and author of Los Republicanos, Why Hispanics and Republicans Need Each Other. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Leslie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So a lot of attention to Latino issues in the debate last night. And I want to sort of go through some of the interesting references and just see what your reaction is to the attention that Latino issues got in that debate last night. First, a sense, where do you think the two top candidates are headed in terms of their outreach to Latino voters?
One thing is very clear. Newt Gingrich has been consistent in his efforts to appeal to Latino voters. It was something he started as Speaker of the House. He actually instituted the first Spanish language spokesperson who courted and appealed to Spanish language press at the time. It was unprecedented. He invited a lot of the Latin American ambassadors to sit in his box during State of the Unions, you know, put a hurricane relief for Central and South America as a priority. There are a lot of different things. So that has been consistent, both in having an office in Florida. He's been taking Spanish classes. He understands the issue of immigration. And he took some heat from the right of the conservative base about some of his what would be perceived as moderate positions on immigration. That's consistent. Romney's position, Governor Romney, I think last night was a great example of how it is continuing to evolve. His rhetoric, actually, in this case, while still a bit high-pitched to many Latinos, is not as insensitive as it sounded in earlier debates. Mm.
All right, well, let's listen to some of that rhetoric. Here's a clip from the debate last night. It's Mitt Romney and the moderator, Brian Williams, talking about the issue of immigration, and we begin with Brian Williams.
Governor Romney, there's one thing I'm confused about. You say you don't want to go and round up people and deport them, but you also say that they would have to go back to their home countries and then apply for citizenship. So if you don't deport them, how do you send them home?
Well, the answer is self-deportation, which is people decide that they can do better by going home because they can't find work here because they don't have legal documentation to allow them to work here.
Now, did you hear the reaction in the audience there? It seemed like it was skeptical, and I can't tell if that would be Latino skepticism or Anglo skepticism. What did you hear?
I probably heard a little bit of both. It was the call of skepticism around the country, and certainly on Twitter, if you were following that debate, the response was pretty harsh. I think in Governor Romney, in principle, in an ideal world, it makes sense. You know, if you follow the ebbs and flows of the economy and the workforce, employers' needs, that already you've seen a decrease in the amount of illegal immigration. Coming here because there's not as many jobs, and people have returned to south of the U.S.-Mexico border.
So he's claiming an economic trend is a bit of policy, and that's from the perspective of people who are experienced, that's ridiculous.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
It never happened. I mean, going back to immigration reform for 30 years, people are serving their personal interest in trying to feed their families. And in many cases, you had employers who were trying to do the right thing to find a legal way. For 60 years, we've been trying to fight this, for a legal way for farm labor, for example, to come, seasonal labor, to come legally, pay taxes, and then go back to their country of origin. But the system at the federal level is such a bizarre mess that it's penalized employers, it's penalized people that are trying to do the process legally, and it really needs to be reformed dramatically.
And it's engendered an extreme amount of skepticism on the part of voters, particularly in Florida. So, you know, you really need to think hard about how you're going to approach these voters because they've been burned in the past. Listen here to Newt Gingrich talking about another issue of importance to Latinos.
As a country, to unify ourselves in a future in which there may well be 300 or 400 languages spoken in the United States, I think it is essential to have a central language that we expect people to learn and to be able to communicate with each other in.
So to be clear, you would only have ballots in English?
I would have ballots in English, and I think you could have programs where virtually everybody would be able to read the ballots.
Now, does that issue land, Leslie Sanchez?
It does. I think there's a national consensus on the core of his point, where he's saying that English is the language of opportunity, and that to succeed, you know, not only in America but internationally, you have to learn English. And that part is very much accepted. It's accepted in the Hispanic community and immigrant communities. And there is a piece I actually wrote several years ago, because this is not the first time that Speaker Gingrich has talked about this. He walked, it was like watching a man walk across an icy street. He did that act several years ago in talking about this to a group of Republican women, and used a term that the language of prosperity, it was English immersion, was English, otherwise you'd be living in a ghetto, language of living in a ghetto, and people perceived that to be, as he was disparaging to Spanish. He never talked about Spanish, but I think Speaker Gingrich has learned to walk that line very carefully. Though it's interesting what he's saying about only English ballots. I think that is very much red meat for the base. Realistically, you have ballots in multiple languages because it encourages new immigrants to vote.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, red meat for the base. A reporter from the Miami Herald said on this program earlier this hour that in Florida, to be a politician, you have to speak out of both sides of your mouth. You have to appeal to the base, but by doing so, you're going to potentially offend certain constituents. Here is Newt Gingrich speaking again on an issue that, of course, is important to people in South Florida, the issue of Cuba.
I am very concerned that we approach the Cuban dictatorship with more aggressiveness than we have. And I'm prepared to take the steps necessary to try to have a Cuban spring. I think that we, this administration is very eager to worry about Syria or Libya or Egypt. They don't seem to be very interested in trying to bring democracy to our own hemisphere.
That's Newt Gingrich speaking to the Miami Herald about a couple of weeks ago. What do you think of that?
Outstanding statement. You know, that was one of the things that you saw. There was an echo. I felt like an echo in the 2008 campaign, and McCain occasionally touched on it, that there was very little emphasis focused on the Western Hemisphere and kind of the hot spots all over Latin America that are of grave concern to U.S. interest. And this is one where he's the idea of a Cuban spring, I think, very positive. He's also, Speaker Gingrich has talked a lot about, and a Gingrich administration, you know, we want a free, kind of be unapologetically for freedom of the Cuban people. He's put a lot of position statements out there. And this is one of those cases where you saw Governor Romney very much concur with that and try to make the same types of broad strokes.
But Leslie Sanchez, you heard Rick Santorum talking about how groups in the Western Hemisphere are increasingly allied with Al-Qaeda, and there's a sort of a terrorist threat on the coast of Florida. Does that play?
Off the coast of Florida, Florida's used to the narco runners and a lot of the more drug trafficking that kind of moves through the waterways there. There's no doubt that we have a porous border, whether it be land, air, or sea. And there are some very fair points to that. I think in some cases his were over-exaggerated. But there is a very real threat and a very real concern in watching the Western Hemisphere and its impact not only economically but politically on the United States.
So here's a comment Mitt Romney made in early January in Iowa. Listen.
The question is, if I were elected and Congress were to pass the DREAM Act, would I veto it? And the answer is yes.
So he said that in Iowa. It's impossible that Floridians heard that, right?
Oh, it's heard everywhere. That is probably the part where many feel that there's I don't want to say that these candidates are tone deaf on the issue, but they have to be extraordinarily careful because this is not a black or white issue. It's a lot more difficult for people to understand that you would penalize a child who came here at 3 or 4 and was not responsible for that pilgrimage and then gets into an American high school, does extraordinarily well, takes college-level courses, wants to go to college, graduates from high school, and then gets to college and will not allow the state to determine whether or not they want to give them in-state tuition. In many cases, these are the same group of candidates that have supported in-state tuition, where the governors can make up their own mind on that issue. It's evolved with Governor Romney, where he says absolutely under no circumstances. But last night was probably the first night that you heard him kind of soften that tone, which is the interesting progression.
Very quickly, between now and the convention in Tampa, what advice would you give to the GOP to evolve this rhetoric to the point where Latinos are a real positive force for the GOP against Barack Obama?
The GOP has a tremendous opportunity to appeal to Hispanic voters. They need to recognize they are very much the jump ball in this election and that all Latinos are not looking at these issues equally. Florida has a very unique set of concerns about the economy, Cuba, education, health care reform. And I think these candidates, the sooner they understand and appeal to them, the better.
All right, Leslie Sanchez, Republican political analyst, CEO of Impacto Group, member of the board of Resurgent Republic, and author of Los Republicanos, Why Hispanics and Republicans Need Each Other. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We're talking about the Mitt Romney tax returns, which were released today. Do the math with us. Go to thetakeaway.org and give us your comments on what do you think they say about the candidates. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste is out all this week. This is The Takeaway.